Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Welcome to Victory World Outreach. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give them a better welcome than that this morning. Amen. Those that are watching online as well. Hallelujah. What a privilege and a blessing for us to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. How many would rather be here than be there? You say, well, where's there? I don't know. You name it. It's where you used to be. Hallelujah. It's in the world serving the devil, but we're serving God today. And God is alive. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Praise God. What an opportunity for me. I get to minister again. I'm doing much better. Praise God. I just have this here just in case. Glory to God. But God's really helping me get through this. Amen. Surgery's a lot of fun, we'll just say. Hallelujah. But I got a word from the Lord this morning for us. I believe that God's going to help us, touch us. I've lost my voice a little bit already, but I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to let God be God this morning. How many know, how many have ever heard people talk about their trials and their tribulations and tests that are going on in their life? I hear it all the time. You know, Pastor Blake and I, we talk, we get together. Anybody else that's pastored, been in ministry for years, you know that people talk about their tests. They talk about their trials. They talk about the things that they're going through in life. And this morning, I want to just break this down a little bit. I'm going to title this message, He Who Overcomes Trials and Tests. Hallelujah, amen. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we get a little bit twisted up, and we don't understand really what's going on in our life. And the Bible says something very interesting in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God is always at work in our lives. Can I get an amen? God is always doing something. He's always working on us to make us better. There's nothing that God does that makes it worse. Amen. It's not like God's going to, you know, we sit there and I'm not going to get ahead of myself this morning in my message, but sometimes we wonder, we doubt, we get upset, we get angry with God about the way things are going in our lives, but we have to have an understanding that God is at our best interest. God wants you and I to succeed in life. He wants us to overcome in a lot of areas in our lives, and we all need help with that. Amen? Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord, this time we get to worship you, this time we get to hear your word. I pray, God, that you would anoint this word this morning, God, that you would speak through me this morning, Father. Lord, touch the heart of your people today. Give us favor, Lord. Give us understanding, God. Help us to be who you have called us to be, who you want us to be, and who we are going to be in you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God is great. Amen. You see, when we talk about trials and tests, when we talk about the temptations, things that are going on in our lives, it can become confusing for a lot of Christians. Now, I'm gonna get to this, so just bear with me for a moment. I promise you're going to understand this. But it gets confusing for us because a lot of times, which ones are from God and which ones are from the devil? You ever thought that? Is this God? Is this the devil? Am I going through this because God's taking me somewhere? Or am I going through this because God's punishing me? Or is the devil attacking me? Is the devil doing this to me to cause me to feel this certain way? How many can be honest and say that you felt this way in your life? Amen? You know, we feel this way a lot. Which ones are from God? Which ones are from the devil? See, what we need to ask ourselves this morning, what is the difference? And this morning, in this message that I'm ministering, I want us to all understand and try to bring some clarity to understand just a little bit better of what these words mean and one of the areas of our lives in which God works and another area in our lives where the devil attacks. So God's going to work through things that, you know, maybe it's a trial, maybe it's a test, maybe it's something that's good or bad. If it's God, God's going to allow us to go through it. We're going to overcome, as his word says. He says, don't worry about it. I'm going to get you through. You won't go through anything that I can't get you through if you trust me. But it becomes a trial. It becomes a different kind of a test. It becomes a temptation when it's the devil throwing these things at us. And we need to understand the difference this morning, amen? And that's what I'm praying that God brings to us this morning. One thing that causes some confusion is the fact that different translations of the Bible, they use words such as tempt and words as like trial. Those two words interchangeably. For example, I'm going to give it to you in Scripture this morning. In James chapter 1, verse 2, in the King James Bible, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And then we read the same exact verse in the New King James Version. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." So a lot of times as Christians, we get confused trying to understand, what is God saying to me? Is it a temptation? Is it a trial? Is it a test? And you know, I'm not knocking translations when I read these two different translations. I'm just saying that sometimes we can be confused. What is God saying? Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it an attack? Is it something that I'm fighting through? Is it something that I'm overcoming in my life? See, it is important for you and I to know the difference, because this can cause a lot of confusion and frustrations in the mind of Christians. It can cause a bunch of different types of things. But unfortunately, the measure used by many is if I like what I'm going through, if I like what I'm going through in life, it must be of God. Now, hear me out. Oh, if things are good, oh, I'm being blessed, I got a raise, oh, things are happening great in my life, we automatically think, oh, that's from God. But then on the other hand, if I don't like what I'm going through, it must be the devil. But I've got news for you this morning, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. Wouldn't it be great that every great feeling is from God and every bad feeling is from the devil? We'd be able to differentiate that and understand it, and we'd be able to move on in life and just be superheroes at the end of time. But that's not how it works. That's not exactly what God's saying to us. See, God tests us to bring out the best. And the devil, listen to this, he tempts us to bring out the worst. So there's a difference there, amen? And we have to understand it. So number one, I'm going to look at trials and testing in this sermon this morning. A trial is proof. It's examination. You ever go to court? You have to, you know, they're trying to prove a case. They're examining the case, trying to figure this out. A lot of you be like, yeah, I know what court is. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, a test, not necessarily an enticement to sin. Then there's test, the try part of testing. It's to prove, test, or try. Amen? 1 Peter 4:12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you." James 1, 2, and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." When our faith is tested, it produces patience in our life. This literally means, it's meaning a burning, as in a set to fire. How many knows what fire does to you? It purifies it. It does a lot of different things. The analogy of gold being refined in the fire comes to our minds. As the gold is heated, it's impurities. Okay, we have to understand there's impurities there. They're separated, and the genuine pure gold, it remains. It's purified. It's cleansed. It leaves us with something wonderful and great. See, God is called the refiner's fire in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. Because that's what he does. He takes us dirty. He takes this big old blob, and once we come to him, he cleans it. He cleans us up. He purifies us. He takes those impurities out, and he makes us, I'm telling you, makes us more than champions in the eyes of God. It makes us more than conquerors, hallelujah, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, hallelujah, if we would keep our focus and our eyes on the things of God, amen? He's got a plan for us. See, it's this work which the Lord does by using trials to refine us. He uses these things to refine us in order for the genuineness of our faith and character to remain, and things like unbelief, in things like fear, things like carnal ideas to be purged out of our lives. Now, I know I'm probably the only one here that has these problems in my life, you know. I'm the only one that needs salvation this morning. I'm the only one that might need God to purify him this morning. But listen, it's his word. He's saying it for a reason. Because we are people who are bound by what goes on in this world. You know, and as we think about this, we think of the example of Abraham. Here's a great example. Abraham was tested. He was tested when he was told to sacrifice his son, Isaac. We can read about this in Genesis chapter 22. Matter of fact, Genesis 22, 12 says, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In other words, he was tested. He was told, do this. I mentioned this a week or two ago when I was ministering. I said, you know, there's not a person in this place today that would lay their son on an altar to be sacrificed, for his life to be taken for anybody. I mean, there we go again. If God said it, well, is it God telling me to sacrifice my son? Or is it the devil telling me to test me, to torment me? But this is an example in the Bible, in the Word of God, that this man, Abraham, he did this. He was tested. Hebrews 11, 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He offered that. He was obedient in it. See, we could say that God already knew exactly what was in the heart of Abraham. We could say God already knew the situation, but after this, he demonstrated his faith. He demonstrated his obedience by a decision of his own free will. It's like when your mama says, hey, I want you to be good. Isn't that amazing? We're reminded of good as we walk out the door, and all of a sudden we forget all about it. We take two steps, and it's already done. We forgot all about good, and now it's all, what can I do bad? We get out into this world. Isn't it funny how the world has a way of grasping us? The world has a way of destroying our mind. The world has a way of changing our thoughts. And it's just amazing to me. And it's we've been given the answer, and we walk away from it automatically. Amen? The bitter water in Exodus 15, 22 through 25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Imagine this. Here he takes them to this place, and there's no water. There's nothing there. He said, what are we going to drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now listen, I know you're thinking right now, God really is going to show me a tree. Listen, if we would listen sometimes, God would take you right to the jackpot. Amen. God will take you right to the blessing. God will take you right to the place where you need to be to work on your marriage, the place you need to be to work on your finances, the place you need to be so that you can grow spiritually in your life. If we would just listen, he cried out. He said, oh Lord, then the Lord showed him a tree. Woo, glory to God. I'll tell you, that should make us all want to shout. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. They were tested in that wilderness. Amen. Now, God knew the water was bitter. God understood before he even sent them there. He knew it was bitter. I want you to understand this today. God knew that the water was bitter. He knew it. You say, well, why in the world would God send him there? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God will manifest his power whether you let him or whether you don't let him. He's going to manifest that power. He knew that the water was bitter, yet he led them there anyway because he wanted them to test. He wanted to test them. He wanted to put them through this test and reveal something of himself to them. And he revealed that to them, that he is their healer. That he is their provider. That he is their everything. Hallelujah. That he is the marriage counselor. That he is the I am. Hallelujah. He wanted to prove it. That's why he puts us through the trial. That's why he puts us through the test. That's why he allows us to go through the test. That's why he allows us to go through the trial. You say, well, is it God? Is it of the devil? Well, this one, it was God. He says, I'm going to bring you there, knowing there's nothing there to provide what you need. You're going to thirst. You're going to go days without any water. But I already know, I'm God. I love to tell people when I'm counseling, you know what? When you get the victory over the devil, say, ha, 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 I'm the devil. I learned that from my father-in-law, Pastor Ron Jones. Ha, 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 I'm the devil. He can't win. He's not going to win, amen, because God already knows the final answer. We say, oh, well, God, you didn't bless me. Well, it wasn't God's will for your life. Well, how do you know, Pastor, it wasn't God's will? I know because God, he comes out right. He always has the final say, amen? And we need to learn to listen to God's word, and we need to understand that God has everything under control. Glory to God. You see, during trials, we can learn something of who God is and his intentions towards us. That we learn in the midst of a trial. When you're going through something, you say, well, I don't know, God, I haven't felt you. I don't know where you are. Listen, God is there. He's working on your behalf. He's on your side. Glory to God. He says, if you don't give up, you're winning the battle. Hallelujah. You know, as people, we also learn something about ourselves. We learn something about one another during the trials that we're going through. Amen? You know anybody around you that's going through some trials? Hallelujah. Nice to meet you. Amen. We're going through some things in life. Amen? See, when we are faced with difficult or impossible situations, are we going to believe and trust God, or are we going to complain and run back to the world? See, and that's the problem that we see in church today, is people give their lives to Jesus Christ. They come from wherever they come from. They get into the house of God. The presence of the Lord is there. They're touched. They're delivered. They're set free. And they walk away from the things of God because something happens in them. And they go right back to what they're comfortable for. The things that were there, the things that were around them, complain and they run right back to the world. You see, we might think that we're invincible. We might think that we're Superman, Superwoman in this world, and we feel that way during the good times. But it is the difficult times when we learn what is truly in our hearts. It's through those difficult times we begin to realize who we are in God and what strength we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not so much about being able to blurt God's word, but it's about having it in your heart to protect you and to keep you and to help you get through the trial and the circumstance in life. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." Now listen to this. To humble you. Oh, Lord, thank you. And test you. Praise God. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Whoo. Know the scripture, Psalms 11:5. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Psalm 17:3. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. These are powerful scriptures. You see, we're not supposed to run back to where we came from. We're supposed to run to the throne of God, hallelujah, and just be able to have that intimate conversation with God and know that he's going to take care of us no matter what circumstances we're facing in life. Because I promise you this, we are all facing circumstances in life. Why trials? Why trials? Why do we have to have trials? Why does God see fit to test us? Why do we have to go through trials in life? I've asked that to myself many times. God, why couldn't we just all live a wonderful life and just be blessed? And you know, well, then we'd probably be I'm not even going to go there. Hallelujah. I got a lot to say sometimes, but I'm going to be good. James 1, 2, and 3 says this. Here's the answer. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Woo, stubbed my toe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I lost my job. God, you must have something better for me. You know, isn't it amazing to be able to see things that way? Not, oh, me. I lost my job. Can't pay my bills no more. Oh, I tell you, we can't work. There's not enough jobs. Well, just get on your, well, don't do it now, but Google it later. How many jobs there are available right now in this world? I think someone told me right before the service, there was like 8 million jobs still available. How many? 9 million jobs. They say there's 6 million unemployed, but there's 9 million jobs out there. What does that say? Do re mi. Go get a job. You don't have to be that smart. They're out there. Go get one. Well, it's not enough. I'm worth more than that. Well, then work your way up the ladder. Glory to God. You know, I'll tell you what. When I started flipping burgers. The problem is we get somewhere and we start letting the world influence us. Instead of us influencing somebody else. You know what? I remember when I was flipping burgers, my brother and I, we ran an entire McDonald's. We went through the shift hour and everything where we went from breakfast to lunch. It was a transition period. It's hard. We loved our job so much that I ran the front and he ran the back. And he had two or three guys helping him, and I had two or three helping me. And I'm telling you what, we were the busiest store in all of Colorado. It was in Grand Junction, Colorado. We absolutely loved our job. Do you think that everything stopped right then and there? That was just the beginning of what God had for me to do. And then all of a sudden, I found a job, another job. I still worked at McDonald's, and I found another job in the evenings that I could go and deliver pizzas. So I was delivering pizza in the afternoon. I was doing McDonald's at 4:45 in the morning. We opened up the store, and that was a bad word, wasn't it? You got to get up at 4:45 in the morning. You know, them jobs are out there. We just have to be willing to get up, comb our hair, and brush our teeth, and show up for work. Hallelujah, amen. Praise God. Well, I don't know how I get off on these sometimes. Romans 5, 3, and 4, the New Living Translation says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You see, first of all, we're told to count it all joy, which we all know that it's not easy to do, right? To count it all joy, everything is just so wonderful. Oh, I'm telling you, we can just get up like a smash cat and just tell everybody everything's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a good day. Everything's just going to go your way today. Instead, we're telling people, oh, don't say it. Don't say it. It'll happen. It's not going to happen to us. Amen? See, the reason, let me just tell you something. What happens is, we're told to count it with all joy, which is not so easy to become. Most people are, listen to this, we're selfish. Either we're selfish or we're lazy. We're short-sighted. We can't see past the front row of the church to get anything done. And the reason to count it all joy is because of what is produced in our lives if we will endure trials properly. If we do it right, amen, trials produce patience, glory to God, which is spiritual endurance. Or it can be perseverance. Moving forward, pushing forward. Patience is a godly quality which is necessary for our lives to be fruitful over the long haul. See, we're all looking for a fast fix. We're all looking for the microwave. We live in a microwave generation. Pop it in the microwave, heat it up, eat it up, gone, out the door. Amen? 90% of us did that this morning, amen? Grab the kids, grab the cereal, grab something, chew it on the way to church. Glory to God, and hope that you brush your teeth on the way out the door. Amen? That's just the way it works. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. You see, what we feel the most is the grieved part. We feel the grieved part, and we do not like it. We don't like the grieving part. We don't like the part that hurts. But going through the trials, it's going to build your character. It's going to make you somebody who God wants you to be. It builds your character. And if we will make the good decisions that will see us through, amen, it'll help you. It'll encourage you. It'll give you the right words to speak, even if it's at the wrong time, but you'll have the right words to speak. It shows what you are really made of. Now get this. I want you to write this down. God tests us to bring out the best. God tests you to bring out the best. The devil tempts us to bring out the worst. It's important we understand that. The devil is gonna put you through a tempter. He is the tempter. He is the deceiver. He is the liar. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to bring out the worst out of you, who you are. He wants it to manifest itself even in a good time. And God sees an end result for our lives, which he wants us to gain. The affliction is light, and for but a moment, what we will become will last us a lifetime. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. See, it is the part about the outward man perishing that most of us fight every step of the way in life. That's what we're fighting against, because we are not mindful of the renewing of the inward man. We're not mindful of it. God is doing something on the inside. God is working a miracle on the inside. Hallelujah. We're so fast to point out the faults in people. We're so fast to call it out. But the truth of the matter is, we need to let God work on the inner man and deal with who we are. God has a purpose and a plan for us. Number three, how do we respond in the face of adversity? How are we going to respond? It's not a question if. It's not a question, am I going through it? It's when. When am I going to go through? When is this going to happen? See, we're faced with trying situations in life all the time. And when we face them, how we deal with them is a very important factor of our life. How are you going to deal with these things? The Lord may allow us to face certain things to teach us to fight spiritually. You're going to fight spiritually or learn to trust him. You're either going to fight spiritually, you're going to learn to trust him, or you're going to gain wisdom through an experience. Amen? I'd like to believe all three of those are true. That it's going to happen. God's going to give me favor. And there's some important points I want to point out. Number one, have an understanding of what is happening. You need to understand what's going on in your life. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You know, we can't just say, what in the world is going on? We need to know what's going on. We need to know what's happening before us. See, we're not talking about troubles and bad situations that, you know, brought as a result of sin or poor decisions. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about different things. Oftentimes it is when we are living right and we're serving God that trials come our way. How many can be honest and say, since you've given your life to Jesus, matter of fact, think about the day you first gave your life to Jesus. That first week, you probably hit a brick wall four or five times. You say, Lord, I just gave my life to you and surrendered to you and gave my life to you. Here I'm supposed to be living a better life, and it's gotten worse. That's the purification process. That's the painful childbirth pains. That's the things that are normally happening because God is cleansing us. He's taking us from who we are to who he wants us to be. Only God can do that. Only God, and he has a plan. He already knows it. He already understands it. That's what we got to know. Number two, don't complain and accuse God. This is why the children of Israel wandered. This is why they died in the wilderness. 40 years. This is exactly why it happened. Some Christians are consumed with trying to figure out why something is happening in their life. So consumed about trying to figure it out. Why is this happening to me? What in the world's going on here? And who is to blame? Who did this to me? Who's at fault? Instead, we should simply continue in our faithfulness and seeking to know and serve God. Say, Lord, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God, protect me, lead me, guide me by your Holy Spirit today. Protect me, encamp me. Lord, surround me by your angels today, God. No matter where I may go, Lord, you will protect me. Lord, and I know it's true because you said it in your word, God. See, these are important things we need to understand. Does anything ever happen that will stop us from being able to seek and serve the Lord? That's a question today. Is there anything in your life that's ever going to stop you from being able to seek and serve the Lord? See, some Christians have become bitter towards God for the things that have happened in their life. I know a guy was coming to this church. He got very mad. He got very upset because something happened to somebody in his family. Just gave up on God. Got mad at God. I can't believe God would let me go through this. I can't believe that God would allow me to suffer in my marriage. I can't believe that God would take my family member. I can't believe God would do this. We get so upset at God. And listen, all of these feelings are real and they're true feelings. Listen, it hurts to lose somebody. I know what I'm talking about. I stand here before you today. I've lost almost every family member in my life, in my family, due to sin, alcohol, drugs, you name it, gang violence. But I stand here today because I believe in God's word. I trust in his word. Hallelujah. I believe what he says. It is the truth and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. See, some Christians just become bitter towards God. Something hurt them. Something happened. It may be impossible for us to figure out every answer to his why or who in this life. But it's not impossible for us to continue in the faith. We get so hurt. We get so beat up. You ever known someone like that? They give up so fast. Maybe the Lord would answer us as he did to Job. How many remember when he answered Job? Job, man, I'm going to tell you, none of us have tasted anything compared to what Job has been through. What a living testimony for us in today's world as well. Oh, well, you don't understand, Pastor, my circumstance. It was worth, listen, Job 38:4 says this, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. If you have understanding. I mean, I can only imagine the problems that he's going through and the wrestling match that he's having and the Spirit of God that's communicating with him and he's just dealing with these things. Don't you think that Job had to come to a point in his life where he had to just have faith in God and trust? Even though the ones he loved most turned against him. Isn't that amazing? They say people hurt people and the ones you love hurt you the most. Such a true statement. Number three, have faith. God is for us, and he will bring us through. He will bring you through. Trials are the testing of our faith, not the destruction of our faith. It's for the testing. If we do not quit, we will not lose, praise God. You say, well, I gave up a long time ago. Well, that's why you're losing. But if you're still going, hallelujah, you're still fighting. You know, my pastor told me years ago, he says, if you're fighting, he says, you're winning. And if you get knocked down, he says, don't worry, I'll give you a hand and get you back up. Glory to God. And now there's two of us going to fight. Amen. That's what God does. Amen. Number four, learn from the experience to become a better Christian. Here's where a lot of us mess up. Because we say, oh, I failed. I'm just going to go out there and do my thing, man. I'm just going to go. If I'm already 1 foot in, I might as well just go. You know, and preachers, we always joke around about it. You know, why be half saved? I mean, you're going to have to get right with God. I mean, you either get in or you get out or you get run over. You ever heard that saying? And that's the truth. And so people ask it all the time. You know, what in the world am I going to do? And everybody, they're battling these things. People are really battling things. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Don't get bitter and angry because things are not going the way that you would like them to go. Don't get upset. Say, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. My wife's upset with me, Lord. Woo. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, I'm so glad she's mad at me, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. I just love the way she talked to me, Lord. I just love that she disrespected me, Lord. It was wonderful. You know what God's doing? He's showing you that there's a way to change that woman's heart. He's showing you that you can change it up, that you can be used by him to make a difference in your household. Hallelujah. It's not just marriage. It's our workplace. It's our relationships. It's our friendships in church. Hallelujah. It's everything that we do in life we can overcome. Number five, temptations. The definition of temptation in the New Testament, it's twofold. Tempt is to try, test, prove one's character, faith, or virtue for good or for bad. Then on the other hand, tempt is, it's an enticement to sin. Think about that. The devil put it in front of me. The devil made me do it. It wasn't my fault. The devil made me do it. Well, then get that bottle of alcohol out of your house. Get that chewing tobacco and throw the can in the trash can. Well, you don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. You ain't never battled any of these things. Well, I got news for you. I battled every one of those things, hallelujah, and a bunch more that go along with it, but I had to make a decision today. That's right. We had to make decisions. I remember a time I was so rebellious. My wife, my kids are old enough. I can tell the story now. I'd sit in the church with chewing tobacco, sitting in my, just packed up in my lip. I didn't care. Anybody could say anything to me. Black teeth, it was all in my teeth. I didn't care. My wife was like, "You, that is so embarrassing. Can you at least go clean your teeth out?" Bad attitude. And God, one day, he spoke to me. He said, "I'm going to deliver you from this." Wait a minute. Was that God? Was that the devil? Is this a test? Is this a challenge? Is this a trial? Is this a temptation? Well, I started to fight, and I started to argue God, and I started to get upset, and I started to say, well, I can overcome this, and then, well, I've been defeated, and I'm beat up, and I'm pushed down, and I can't win. God began to prove himself to me. We went on a family vacation. We went to this place. When I left my house, I set my can of chew on my dresser, and I told my wife, I said, "I'm getting delivered. God told me I'm getting delivered, and I'm leaving it here. I'm not doing it ever again." She did the dance. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! We were shouting. Oh, it was good. We got on that airplane, and you know, in an airplane, that's when you really had to have that chew. Because you just relaxed, you know. The sound of the can, just popping that can. Pop that chew in that lip, sit back and relax. Get your little high on. I told her, I said, "I'm delivered. Oh, I'm delivered." We got to the place we were going, and we rented a car. We pulled into this nice, beautiful, shiny hotel, beautiful place, and right across the street was the brightest, most beautiful, amazing, convenient gas station store. The lights were lit up, like stadium lights were on this store. God was shining big spotlights down on this store from heaven. And all the front windows on that gas station convenience store had Copenhagen and Skoll. And all these different pictures of goodness, of my desires that I had. And, you know, on the outside I was delivered. But on the inside, there was a test, there was a trial, there was a tribulation going on in my life. It was, do I want it or do I not? Am I going to be faithful to God? Am I going to turn my back? Am I going to cheat? Am I going to be honest? Am I going to do this or that? You've all been in my shoes to know what I'm talking about today. Went into that hotel room, laid my big overgrown self on that bed, laid down, popped my head back, and I sat up and I said, "I'm going across the street. I got to get some." And my wife said, "No, you made it this far. You've gone 2 hours. You can do it." Oh. There it was again. Devil, get behind me. Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it a test? Is it a trial? Is it persecution? Is it temptation? Am I dying? God, I'm dying. I laid back down in that bed, and 13 seconds went by. I jumped out of that bed. I said, I'm sorry. I'm rebellious. I'm ugly. I'm nobody. I'm a loser. I'm going across the street. I threw my sandals on. I ran across that street, and I was, oh, Lord, don't let a car hit me now, God, because I'm going to sin, and I'm going to sin good. I'm going to put that chew in the back of my lip, but I'm not going to let nobody see me, so I'll wait till I get back to my room. Because, you know, I was with Pastor Jones and Pastor Paul, Pastor Dustin and Pastor Ben. I was with all my family on a family trip. I get back into my room. Pop, 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 pop. Popping that can. Woof. Opened it up. Slapped it in my lip. And my wife is sitting there just weeping. She's like, God, you gave me a promise. God, you said that you were going to free him, deliver him. I laid back on that bed with that chew in my lip, and I didn't lay down for not even a second. I popped my head up out of that bed, reached in my mouth, and pulled that stuff out of there and grabbed that can and ran to the toilet and threw it out. I said, I'm free in Jesus' name. And never have I touched it again since that day. Glory to God. I want you to know there's a wrestling match that's going on in your life today. God's got an answer for you. God cares. He loves you. He doesn't want you to suffer going through this hidden life, this life of saying, is it right or is it wrong? Is it a trial? Is it a temptation? Is it this or that? God wants you to be pleased with who you are. He wants you to love yourself before you can love anyone else. He says, love yourself. You can be set free today. You can be delivered. It's just, listen, we need to understand this. This is where the world is. Use this to describe the work of the devil. It can be described as temptations from within, such as appeals to the lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I said the pride of life. There's people that aren't here today because of the pride of life. Because they messed up and they can't face the facts. They can't get in the presence of God anymore because they feel like they have failed him. Listen, you have not failed God. You have not lost in this fight. You are still winning. You are still fighting. Hallelujah. Let God change you. Let God deliver you. Let God set you free. Glory to God. You see, Bible says in James 1, 12 and 14, 12 to 14, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's a crown of life for those who love God. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, because God doesn't tempt us. It says, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Our own desires is what causes us to walk away from God. Matthew 4, 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Listen, Adam was tempted by the devil and he failed. Did you hear what I said? Adam was tempted by the devil and he failed. But on the other hand, Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he overcame. I said he overcame, glory to God. Do I got any believers in this place today? Hallelujah. I said he was tempted by the devil, and he overcame. Hallelujah. Because he is greater than sin, glory. He is Almighty God, praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 4, 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted just like you and I have been tempted in our lives, but he is a man who was tempted without any sin in his life. Praise God. What a testimony, amen? 1 Corinthians 10, 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, sometimes we get ourselves in troubles. Sometimes we get around the wrong people. Sometimes we say the wrong thing. And I see too many people give up because they messed up. But I want to tell you today, it's not the day to give up. It's not the day to quit. It's the day to keep on going. To say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Praise God. This temptation is a work of the devil. It's a work of the devil. Our musicians can come forward. Praise God. I'm going to end here in just a second. Used against us to try and destroy our lives. That's what happens. Temptation is the devil putting things in front of our faces to destroy who we are in God. That's all it is. And you say, well, I failed. I messed up. Listen, you did not fail. You have not messed up. You just got to pick yourself up and you just got to keep on going. Hallelujah. And understand that God is doing a work on the inside and the inside is going to change the outside. Glory to God. That's what happens. That's what God does. Amen. See, the victory of Jesus on the cross has made it possible for every single one of us in this place to overcome. That's what it's all about. Jesus died on that cross. God sent his only son to die on that wooden cross so that you and I today could have salvation, so that we could be delivered, set free, so that all things, we can have power over temptation, power over trials, power over all these things. We do not have to sin if we put our faith exclusively in what Jesus did on the cross. Praise God. If you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died for you today. He died for me so that we can make heaven our home. Do you want to go to heaven today? You know, I talked, Pastor said this just this last week. He said, you know, you talk to some people, they say they want to go to hell. You know, I tell them, if you want to go to hell, go right ahead, go to hell. But I don't want to go to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell either. I tell the people in the street that I'm witnessing to. You know, Brother Christian was telling me, he said, man, I went down. I says, every day is a downtown square for me. Every single day. I don't miss out on nothing. I everywhere I go, it's being downtown at the square. I meet heathens everywhere I go. I meet more religious people that got more demons than worldly people. I walk in these multi-million dollar houses. Just the other day, I walked in an $8 million home. And man, I'll tell you, everything was in order. It was beautiful. The Bibles were out on every table. Whoo, glory to God. They buff them out real nice and clean. The maids come through. They clean them good. You know, that book ain't been opened in I can't tell you how many years. It blows my mind. And thank God I have the boldness to ask them, ma'am, sir, when's the last time you opened that book up and read it? When's the last time you let God read you? Oh, well, that's not my Bible. I have my personal Bible in here. I said, oh, wonderful. Praise God. Where y'all go to church? Well, we go down to the first church of the refrigerator. Oh, really? Yeah, I know that church. Amen. That's not for me. I need God. I can't do this on my own. You can't do this on your own this morning. You need God. You need, listen, we all need a Savior. We all need a miracle worker in our lives. And we all need boldness. We need authority from God. Hallelujah. To tell people, listen, time is short. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Glory to God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning in reverence to the Lord. Jesus died on that cross so you and I would have a way into heaven. The choice is ours today. The choice is yours. The choice was mine. And I made the choice to serve God. I made a choice to serve God during the trials, during the tribulations, during the temptations, during the tests. And I'm smart enough now not to even ask, God, is this a test? Is this a trial? Is this the devil tempting me? I know that I have the power of God in me because I gave my life to Jesus. He says, it's free. It's yours. He said, I'll give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. I'll give you the authority to make your decisions based on my will. Hallelujah. And I say, that's all I need is the power of the Holy Ghost. This morning, I want to make a call. You're here today. You say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not right with God. If that's you, I want to ask you to just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. Just put it up and put it right back down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see these hands. How many more? Put them up. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Put your hand up. Put it up. Don't be afraid. How many more? You hear today, you say, Pastor, I'm away from God. At one time, I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was living for him. I was serving him. I was faithful to him. But today, I'm away from him. It's different. I haven't been who I need to be. I haven't been what I used to be. If that's you, just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you this morning. You say, I'm dry in my spirit. I see these hands. How many more? Praise God. How many more? All over this place, front to back, side to side, left to right. Just lift it up. I want to pray for you. Praise God. I see these hands. Thank you, Jesus. I see these hands. All over this place this morning, if you raise your hand, I want you to just stand to your feet if you would. I want to pray for you. I want you to come down here. Please come down. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Come on down with him. Yeah, come on. Come on. I think I saw another hand. Couple hands. If I could come down there and get you, I would. But I can't. We'll let God be God. Hallelujah. How you doing, young man? Praise God. Praise God. Let me shake all your hands. I'm getting your buddy over here. Yeah, come here. How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. We're a family in this church. Amen. When you go through trials and troubles, we're here with you. We fight with you, not against you. Isn't that right, Andrew? Huh? We stand together. You know, when we come to God, I think sometimes God walks around one of these. We're afraid of God sometimes, aren't we? He's like, God, I messed up. He's like, what? That's not what God does. God doesn't beat us like that. His arms are always open. His arms are always wide open to help us to get to where he wants us to be. He says, I'll lead you and I'll guide you and I'll direct you. And don't think about coming to God with whatever happened last night, wherever you did last week. Don't worry about all that. Listen, today is a new day. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. That means no matter what we've done yesterday, we're going to pray a prayer right now, and we're going to surrender and give our lives to Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I've done that 1,000 times. Well, I got you beat. I did it 10,000 times. I got to do it all the time. I pray, oh, God, please forgive me. You'll hear me in that prayer room. God, forgive me. You probably all think I'm a big old sinner. I'm in there, Lord, forgive me of each and every and all sins, oh, God. You're like, wow, each and every and all? Yes. I'm a sinner by, listen, we were all born sinners. I turn to God every day. Listen, this is not a super spiritual thing to stand up here and preach the gospel. This is a commitment that we made to serve God and to live for him. And you have the same responsibility, the same commitment to make to God, and that's to serve him. Let him do the changing. Let God take you and let God mold you and shape you and do his work. Church, let's stand up to our feet if we would. Stretch your hands this way. Repeat. Everybody's going to repeat this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to change me today. Come into my life. Make yourself real to me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Change me this morning. Make me a brand new person. I ask you to help me to live for you. I surrender. I give you my life. From this day forward, I will live for you. I will serve you. And I will seek you. And Lord, I will humble myself before you. And I thank you for saving me. I thank you for setting me free. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am your child. And I will serve you to the best of my ability from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.